given the job of carrying on our series looking in the Psalms. And today is a very interesting psalm, and it's Psalm 77. It's not a psalm that's particularly well known. Crispin asked me earlier on, he had to look it up because it's not like the 23rd psalm where we kind of all know it and we're all aware of it. So it's a psalm, but it's a psalm that as I've studied it and as I've listened to other people preaching about it, I've realised that it's actually a very, very important psalm. So before further ado, let's turn to God's word. Let's read Psalm 77 and see what it says. For the director of music, for Jeduthun of Asaph, a psalm. I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me. When I was in distress, I sought the Lord. At night, I stretched out untiring hands, and my soul refused to be comforted. I remembered you, O God, and I groaned. I mused, and my spirit grew faint, Selah. You kept my eyes from closing. I was too troubled to speak. I thought about the former days, the years of long ago. I remembered my songs in the night. My heart mused and my spirit inquired, will the Lord reject forever? Will he never show his favor again? Has his unfailing love vanished forever? Has his promise failed for all time? Has God forgotten to be merciful? Has he in anger withheld his compassion? Selah. Then I thought, to this I will appeal, the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will meditate on all your works and consider all your mighty deeds. Your ways, O God, are holy. What God is so great as our God? You are the God who performs miracles. You display your power among the peoples. With your mighty arm, you redeem your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. Selah. The waters saw you. O God, the waters saw you and withered and writhed. The very depths were convulsed. The clouds poured down water. The skies resounded with thunder. Your arrows flashed back and forth. Your thunder was heard in the whirlwind. Your lightning lit up the world. The earth trembled and quaked. Your path led through the sea. Your way through the mighty waters, through your footprints were not seen. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Amen. Like a lot of psalms, this psalm has got different parts. It's got four main parts. Before I get into that, it's worth noting, we don't know who wrote this psalm. Now, some of the psalms, particularly the Psalms of David, we can tell that they were at a particular point in David's life, and we knew what was going on, and so we can kind of relate the psalm to that. We can't do that with this one. We don't know when it was written. We don't know who wrote it. It's just a psalm that we have. but it's a very beautiful psalm. As we go on, you'll see why. We don't know what despair this person was going through. But we can tell from this psalm that it was a very, very deep and serious despair. Whether he'd had, or this person, had had a major bereavement, the loss of a spouse or a child, or whether they had lost a parent, we don't know. In today's world, that can translate as being made redundant and thinking, or unemployed, thinking, how am I going to survive? How am I going to feed the family? How am I going to pay the mortgage and the bills? Whatever it was an ongoing despair. He was in the absolute depths of despair. The kind of despair where you can't sleep at night. And the kind of depths where you can't really talk properly about it. It envelopes, it encloses you so tightly. And to make matters worse, God seemed to have disappeared. This person was crying out again and again to God, but God was nowhere to be seen. And I think a lot of Christians go through this, where they can't seem to reach God. You know, in previous times when they were new Christians, or, you know, in other times in their life, they've been really close to God. Their prayer life's great. Everything's fine. And God seems to be really near. And then you go through periods, the dark soul of the night, where God is just not, or just doesn't seem to be there. He seems to be a million miles away, doesn't seem to be listening. And you try to connect, and you can't. You can't connect with God. So you've got this deep despair, and you can't connect with God. It's the kind of despair, the kind of situation where I've certainly known in my Christian life for people to have actually lost their faith at this point. One of the things I was reading, that's what he was suggesting. This person in the psalm was losing their faith. They were losing their faith. Was God really there? Did God really exist? Doubt. You know, if I've been following a false God all this time, something that wasn't real. I can remember years ago in my much younger life, a woman who lost her husband. They were a couple. They were, I guess, their mid-50s. And her husband sadly developed cancer. And despite the doctor's best efforts, he died. And she was devastated, absolutely devastated. And she lost her faith. She stopped going to church. She stopped believing. She lost her faith. And you may have known people who've been in that situation through your lifetime. It's documented that people have lost faith when they've been through these really traumatic situations. And they say, God, why did you allow this? If there was a God, why did he allow this to happen? Why did he allow my husband to die? Why did he allow my child to die? Why did he allow my parent to die? Why did they go through so much suffering? Why did he allow me to lose my job so that I can't feed and support my family? And we all go through periods like that where we can't seem to quite reach God. He seems to have taken a bit of a holiday somewhere and gone away somewhere. And you might ask, well, why does God do that? Why does he do that? Why is he not with us all the time? Well, of course, if you're a parent, you can start to understand why. If you give in to your child's every little whim, it doesn't bring them up to be a strong and balanced human being. It might even be very bad for them. If you give in every time your child, your toddler wants sweets, I want sweets, I want sweets, mummy, I want, give me more sweets. Well, if you gave them all the sweets they want, they wouldn't be healthy individuals. They wouldn't grow up to be healthy individuals. And we know now the problems of child obesity. And that's one of the society's problems at the moment, is all these children with child obesity. So a good parent will restrain their child and say, no, you're not having sweets. And a parent may not answer a child as soon as they call, so that they learn. People can't always center themselves around you, so that that child can grow as a balanced and not a spoilt child. But it builds our faith up as well, because sometimes, you know, we just have to know God is there. He might not be answering us, but he's there. And then we come to verses 11 and 12. And this is a really important verse here, because it sort of is the turning point. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. You see, one of the problems when we go into this deep despair is that it's us, me, I've lost my job. I've lost whatever major. Now, don't get me wrong at this point. I am not saying, and never will say, that if somebody has gone through a major bereavement or lost their job, I'm not trivializing it, it is important you go through the proper stages of mourning for your well-being. And I'm not saying that you should not mourn. I'm not saying that at all. It's really important that if you lose someone very close, that you do take time out, that you do go through that mourning process. It's very important. But what we tend to do is we centre it all around us. Poor me. I've lost whoever. I've lost my job. And God's not complying to me. What the psalmist is saying here is he flipped it around. And instead of thinking of himself or herself, because we don't know who wrote this psalm, they start to think of God. And they put God in the centre. And they start to think of what God has done. And they start to think of the miracles that God has already done. They start to think of the miracles, what God has already done for them. And they start to realise that God actually hasn't abandoned them. He hasn't changed. He hasn't disappeared. He's there. He might not be answering, but he's there. And we can look in the scripture and see what a powerful God he is. Because some of the miracles that are talked about later on in the psalm, we as a mankind, even with all our science and engineering and knowledge, still can't do. And one of the things that's talked about later on is the crossing of the Red Sea. When the Hebrews, when they came out of Egypt, they were in a pretty tight spot. They couldn't go forward because the Red Sea was in the way. They didn't have time to go around the Red Sea because the Egyptians were after them. And they couldn't go back because the Egyptians were after them. They were in a pretty tight spot. And they thought God had deserted them. What are we going to do now? You know, what are we going to do now? So God parted the Red Sea for them. God was there. He parted the Red Sea and they went through the Red Sea. I know they had 40 years before they got into the promised land. They had all the shenanigans that they went through. That's for another day. But God was with them. He performed that miracle. And that will always be there. God was there for them. Wasn't there straight away. They had to get out of Egypt first, but God was there. And if you're in those depths and depths and depths of despair, we can call on God. He may not answer immediately. He may not seem to be there. But he is the unchanging, almighty God who doesn't change. He's always there. He's always steadfast. Always there. Even though it feels as if he isn't. As if it feels as if he's not helping in this situation. What am I going to do? He's there for us. And we can take great comfort from knowing that. That even if we are going through the dark night, the soul of the night where he just doesn't seem to be there, through great distress, that God is there. He might be silently there, but he is there. We go to the very end of the psalm, to Psalm 20. And Psalm 20 says, you led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. And of course, that's almost referring to them as a shepherd. When this psalm was originally written in the Old Testament times, they only had people like Aaron and Moses to fall back on. Because Christ hadn't come back to earth then. Well, he was there. We know he was there at the foundations of the earth. We know that Jesus is God. But for the people of the Old Testament, they didn't know Jesus because he hadn't come back to earth. He hadn't revealed himself like he has now. And so, of course, we have our shepherd. We have the shepherd, the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus will always care for us. We have the biggest miracle of all history to remember when we're in those depths of despair. Jesus died for us. He died and he was raised for us. We will always be able to cling to that. He will never let us go. He will always be the shepherd that will be there for us, who will lead us, who will look after us, who will care for us. Before I finish, if you want to go into this psalm a bit more at home, then I urge you to go and listen to a person called Ray Steadman. And in 1967, shows the agelessness of God's word, because just as it was relevant way back 55 years ago, it's just as relevant for us today, and it will be for future generations. And it just shows the agelessness of God's word. But Ray Steadman, back in 1967, he preached on this very psalm. He had four Sundays, though. So he was able to go into a lot more detail than I could. I think you all want to get back and get your dinner. So I had to pre-say it a little bit more. But if you do want to go into a bit more detail, if you Google Ray Steadman, I can give you the spelling afterwards, Psalm 77, and you'll find those sermons. Only slight little thing I will say is in one of them, I think they're perhaps a little bit un-PC about a certain group of people than we would be today, but you're talking about 55 years ago here. So might be tiny tad old-fashioned, but it's a wonderful sermons, and they really, really do make sense. So that's if you want to go further into this sermon, into this psalm. But I just want to leave you with this. God endures forever. He will not leave you. Even though he seems to be a million miles away, he isn't. He's there with you. You're his sheep. And like a good shepherd, he will never leave you. Amen.